You're listening to LCC Alumni Stories, a show dedicated to highlighting the amazing alumni of Lansing Community College. I'm Steve Robinson, president of LCC, and on each episode, I have the awesome privilege of getting to know one of our many inspiring alums and hearing about their experiences at and since leaving LCC. The LCC alumni community is expansive and far-reaching. They're an incredibly diverse group of people representative of all walks of life, working in hundreds of industries across the country. LCC Alumni Stories shines a bright light on the alumni who make a positive contribution to their community and showcases those who've overcome obstacles and barriers to achieve academic and personal success. These are their dynamic stories. Today, my guest is Tony Sabo, a 1998 graduate of LCC, earning a degree in Applied Arts and 3D Animation. He's currently the Vice President and Creative Director at Addis Enterprises. Tony, how you doing, man?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm really excited to talk to you because when we were doing a project together, I told you about the show and I immediately wanted to get you on, but a lot has happened since then, so it took a while to get you here. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. Excellent. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. So Tony and I, we met in person for the first time when we were both dapper dads. That was a trip, wasn't it?
It sure was.
So if you're, for listeners who are not familiar with Women Working Wonders fundraiser, Dapper Dads, Tony and I got to dress up in Kotacek's clothing and go down the runway with all the lights and the music. And it was a lot of fun.
It was. Got to strut our stuff.
We did. And you had one of your kids with you, right?
I did.
Yeah.
Tell me
about that. That must have been special.
Actually, yeah. I had two of my sons with me, Landon and Lucas. And they got all dressed up, walked the runway with me. And to end it, my other son, Landon, actually went up, did a flip at the end. And
that's right. I was backstage, but I heard the crowd went nuts.
Yeah, it was really cool. They kind of showed me up and helped me out. So it was good.
Well, I had a similar strategy. I didn't bring any of my kids, but we brought some LCC students. Mm-hmm. And it was a really fun event for a great cause.
Sure was.
So before we talk about your time here at LCC as an alum, I would love to hear about what you're doing now at Addis. Tell me a little bit about your company and what you do professionally.
Sure. Well, Addis Enterprises is a full design and marketing firm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So about 7 years ago, we rebooted Addis Enterprises. John came to me one day and says, you know, hey, do we get jobs at Michigan State? Do you want to reboot this company? What would you like to do? And so we went out and interviewed at Michigan State. I interviewed about 2 to 3 different departments. Mm-hmm. And, got a couple offers. John got a really amazing offer at MSU. Okay. And he pulled me back into his house and he said, do you really want to do that? Or do you want to just take a leap of faith and go out and restart this company? Mm-hmm. And I said, I want to restart this company. Let's do it. So about a couple months from working in his house over on the West Side neighborhood, we decided to just go look at some property. Mm-hmm. And we got a place right next to Midtown Brewing Company.
Right here downtown.
Right downtown, uh-huh. Yeah. And that went extremely well. We ended up hiring Jody Miller, which was also from our old company, great friend of ours. And it was just the three of us for a while and hired a couple more people a couple months down the road and then outgrew that building very fast.
Wow.
So within probably a year of being downtown, we decided to look around and we got a place off of Michigan Avenue and Mount Hope. Okay. And we bought a building there and we bought the building next door and we took the garage and made it into a green screen studio slash lounge area for our clients.
Okay.
And we, within, I would say, 2 to 3 years, we grew to 15 to 16 people.
Wow, that's huge growth.
Yeah, we grew really fast, which was a little scary. I don't know how prepared we were right off the bat, but, the past 3 years, I'd say, has been really like taking our policies and perfecting them. And now that we're like considered a big boy company, we had to really concentrate on policies and make sure we grew strategically.
Got
and
it.
Smart.
So the fork in the road at the beginning is: are we gonna work for somebody else at a research university, or are we gonna go our own way with this company? And you've had incredible growth. Tell me a little bit about what you do with your clients. You're still in that design animation space, right? What kind of work do you do for clients?
So for our clients, actually, you LCC was a client of ours about 4 years ago.
Fantastic. What did we do with you?
What career fits you? We did that campaign. They were Adobe, or back in the old school days, Flash
right,
ads.
Flash animation.
Yeah. So I redid those in Adobe Animate, and we did a campaign where we took vector graphics and just created some simple 2D animations, 15-second clips, so you could sprinkle those all throughout different local websites of Lansing. And we had any category from nursing to construction, even audio. I think we did a fun little audio one. So had a little soundboard animation of a guy like adjusting the sound levels and things like that.
That's cool. And that it's still an important part of college storytelling is animation, right? Mm-hmm. So sounds like you did some spots that highlighted career pathways for us. And it's funny that you mentioned Flash. I mean, I'm older than you, but I remember when that was the way animation worked on the web. I'm a huge fan of I don't know if you know Homestar Runner, the Flash cartoon.
No.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's now sort of defunct because all the animation was on Flash. And teach me the technology that it doesn't run anymore, right? Flash doesn't run on.
Does not. Okay. Completely dead.
Completely dead format. So, so what are the formats you're developing and designing in for clients right now?
So HTML5, like anything Canvas related through Animate. So that just converts to HTML5 Canvas. But the most exciting thing I think we do at Us Enterprises, and I'm being biased because this is my degree.
Okay, this is what you do.
3D animation. Uh-huh. And backing up outside of at Us Enterprises, just before we kind of had that middle phase of trying to find jobs, I did work at LCC for a year with Sean Huberty over at West Campus.
Oh, okay,
and
in West Campus.
Yeah, we built a video game over there, and I got to learn a lot of like 3D gaming engine modeling and things like that. And I got to put together their website and do a really cool, I think it was called the Smart Neighborhood.
Okay,
and
cool.
It was kind of like taking the West Campus and what would it look like with future wind technology and all sorts of fun animations.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's a great pivot point to talk about you as an LCC grad. You graduated in 98 and you actually studied animation here. Tell me, how did you get to LCC? Did you grow up around here? And was this your first choice for college? What brought you to LCC?
Sure. Well, we grew up in Detroit, moved to Lansing when I was 14, went to Grand Ledge High School.
Okay.
Didn't quite know what I wanted to do. I really struggled coming here. Like, you know, I wanted to be an architect, but math was not my strong suit. So I talked it over with my parents, and my mom just kept saying, like, you are an awesome artist. Since you were a little boy, you were building stuff around the house, and, you know, I could see you being an architect. But, like, maybe you should just go talk to a student advisor. So I did. I met with an advisor.
Here at LCC?
At LCC, yeah. And I kind of, I wanted to start off at, see, like, maybe start off at LCC and transfer at MSU, but I just was like, you know what? I want to see how just a two-year college goes, and I knew this was a great fit. So I met with a student advisor here, and it was Sharon Wood. I'm not sure if Sharon is still here, but she sat me down and she asked me, you know, what do you like to do with art? And I said, oh, I like to draw, stuff like that. And she said, well, do you want to make soup can labels for like graphic design? And I looked at her and I was like, absolutely not.
So she asked you specifically, do you want to design labels for food products?
Yeah.
Okay.
She said that, well, that's one field and it wasn't really
that wasn't doing
the best
it for
way
you
to sell in graphic design. But she kind of, because she had something better in store for me. She says, or do you want to make dinosaurs walk in Jurassic Park? And my eyes lit up. I was like, yes, that's
what a specific memory. That's great advising, yeah. By the way. She's creating a vision for you in your head about what. Yes. So making dinosaurs walk, that sounded pretty cool.
Yeah.
Huh?
Jurassic Park was huge then. And
that's,
I was like,
right. That was a huge time for that movie. So that's what you decided your path was going to be. Tell me a little bit about the classes that you took.
Yeah. I remember Photoshop very clearly.
Right.
I love Photoshop now. I mean,
it's such an important tool in all kinds of design, right?
All kinds. Yeah. I mean, I took like typography. I remember it was all hand drawn at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It was PageMaker, I think, back in the day.
That's a familiar name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I took PageMaker and I can't remember what the equivalent program was. But I learned that. I learned Painter, which mm-hmm. does not exist anymore, I don't think, unless they've changed it around. I think it's called Corel Painter.
Oh, right. Yeah. Corel Draw, Corel Paint. There were these other applications.
Believe it or not, I mean, a lot of them are just obsolete now.
But what's interesting to me, to hear you talk about all these throwback applications or software programs, while they're gone, the principles of them still apply, right? So the design principles that you studied in your classes on these now defunct, even Flash, right? The ideas, the principles are still the same, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so tell me, what makes a good animation? I mean, tell me from your perspective, how do you make an animation appealing?
Storytelling.
Okay, tell me about
that. Yeah. So I'll give you a good example.
Yeah.
A professor at MSU, Dr. Richard Pursley, came to me and said, I have this idea, like, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm thinking of taking, he's a professor for animal science department.
Okay,
and he
great.
Works with basically the estrus cycle of cows. And he said, what if we did, like, we took a photo of a cow and took another photo of a cow and you kind of like just do voiceover like they're talking to each other? And I said, and I thought to myself, can I really get that point across with just still images?
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually chatted with him about like what 3D animation actually is and how I could take your imagination and your ideas like talking cows and actually make them come to life and animate and make them feel like a Disney short Pixar.
That sounds really cool.
So that's what we did. We took a four-part series called Blazing Star. I think it's...
These are cow names.
Yeah.
Blaze
yep.
and Star.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm already picturing it in my head.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a four-part series and they're about 5 minutes per clip. And he uses them for basically educating his students. You could go on just YouTube and just research Blazing Star. They're really funny. He wrote all the scripting and the really cool part is, you know, you just find your voiceover talent, mm-hmm. which is a couple girls he worked with in the department, and they record the voiceover and I place it into like Lightwave and then you start by like, you know, purchasing 3D models or building out 3D models. And then you go on set and location to the dairy farm and you take reference photos of everything, the stalls, the architecture of the entire place. And you start bringing in those photos into Photoshop. And another thing you would do is when you're at those locations, you would take what's called texture photos. Like of the ground, straw, what they eat, the cow's surface, things like that. So what I would do is I would take a lot of photos of like the back walls. What do the back walls look like? Well, they're aluminum and they're dirty aluminum. So I take a photo of that and take a photo of the ground. And what you would do is take those texture photos and then you would start building out your models and you would map those UV texture maps onto the ground, onto the cows. So you're taking real life photos and just mapping them into a 3D environment.
Wow.
Yeah. And then you light the scene, you surface the scene, then you work on camera work, and then you take the actual 3D models and you rig them, and then you take the voiceover and you start to play them. And every time the cow like Blaze talks, you look at the inflections of the words. And then when they say like an R, you kind of take the the facial expression of what an R looks like.
Yeah, to simulate what a human face would do when it's making that noise.
Exactly.
That's fascinating to me. So how much of those kinds of principles did you pick up in your classes here, and how much did you have to learn after the fact?
A ton of them here. Like, you know, I loved getting, like, taking what Sharon taught me and going home and spending another, you know, 5 or 6 hours and just perfecting what I learned in class. But like,
own animation.
Yeah. Like just stuff for, I think we had an end project, like make a room, light it, and animate through it.
Okay.
And so I would take what she taught me in class and I would go home and just try to perfect this animation for some award ceremony at the end. And it was, I would say, like, she set a great foundation here, and I would, again, try to perfect what she taught me, but then I always wanted to go above and beyond and go home and learn and then come back the next day and feel like I really have comprehended it. Unlike math, where, you know, I would sit in math class and I would just get so far behind because I was like, oh, no more, I cannot catch up. But I wanted to make sure I was on top of my A game when it came to the animation.
So the animation stuff, you always had that appetite for more, right?
Yes.
That's what I'm what I'm hearing. So you took classes in animation, typography, and design. You graduated in 98. What'd you do right after graduation? Did you go work for a company doing animation? Tell me about that.
Sure. I went to a company called Blue Lobster Multimedia Productions.
Okay.
It was a little F.D. Hayes sister branch.
Okay.
Electric, and it was an awesome job. I started off as an intern and then it turned into a 6-year job. So we would take dimmer switches for companies like Wiremold and Leviton. We would take dimmer switches and we get like 10 physical models of a dimmer switch. And we would just wreck them. We would break them apart and there would be a circuit board and there'd be all these little pieces on there. And same thing with like the cows, we'd break it completely off, all the models apart, the physical models, and then I'd take a photo of like the circuit board, and then I would actually model that, and then I'd take what I broke off of the circuit board, and then I would model and surface that and then attach it to that. And so basically what would happen is we'd have a full 3D model, and then we'd have some voiceover work done explaining how this dimmer switch gets installed. And we would do an explosive view, so the model would pull apart, and we'd show how to connect the wires properly to an outlet, how certain screws go in, and things like that. And it was a training device.
Wow. So let me see if I get this right. This is fascinating because in order to what you were making essentially were instructional videos or like almost like visual manuals for these switches. And, you know, if you've ever worked with one of these things, you get a little white piece of paper that you open up and it's got these little diagrams and it's really hard to understand. You made essentially a teaching tool for what, the installation and repair of these things?
Exactly.
Was it fun to break these things?
Oh, it's so much fun.
So I got to know about this. So you're taking images of them at various stages of deconstruction. How did you actually break them? They seemed like they'd be hard to break.
Yeah, well, some of them, you know, you would just unscrew certain parts. But yeah, a lot of them, we would needle nose pliers. You just take them and wreck the plastic.
Really?
This is why you got probably 10 different models, because you would need to, you know, actually use or actually surface and model them perfectly. But you know, it'd be pretty hard to do with half of them because they're so destroyed and wrecked. So yeah, we would have, like I said, I would probably get through about 4 to 5 models and then we'd have 5 left over. But, it was just needle nose pliers, hammers. Sometimes we just sit there and paint.
That's funny. So the audience of these videos are what, technicians and then end users who are installing them.
Yep.
That's great. So you were there for 6 years.
About 6 years.
Yeah. What'd you do after that?
Oh, probably American Eagle and Meyer Warehouse. Yeah, I kind of dropped off for a while. I would say I worked at Meyer Warehouse for 4 to 5 years.
Okay.
And then I realized, like, I have to get back into
You want to go
field.
Back into animation, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I went to Robert Half Associates in Novi, and I said, hey, I'm kind of going back into the ball game. Here's my old resume, my old work. Now the problem is 3D animation is super cool, but we don't live in New York, Chicago, and not a lot of people have heard about it. Two, the pricing, it can be a little high. So a lot of people are like, oh, we'll just go with still images.
So tell me a little bit about that. It's more expensive, I'm guessing, because it's more labor intensive to create, right?
Exactly.
It's one thing to just take still images, but if you're going to do 3D modeling, it's going to cost more, right?
Yeah. And that's usually a 5 to 10 person team for animation.
Really?
And I'm, one person team. So I went to Robert Half and I did a little bit of web development, dabbling when I was at Blue Lobster. Mm-hmm. And that was when you're using tables, I believe, tables and frames to build websites.
I remember that.
Yeah, scary. So I kind of had that background. And then after that, I got placed into a company in Waterford, Michigan. It was a law firm, and he wanted to put together AdSense websites, which is kind of bizarre. So I started to learn a little bit more web development there.
Okay.
That lasted about 2 years, and then I moved back to Lansing because I moved down to Howell and then moved back to Lansing. And then I went back to Robert Half, and they placed me again into a company called Rizzi Designs. That was about 12 years ago.
Okay.
And that's where I just said, hey, I got animation skills, but I understand that there may not be a huge market for it.
Okay.
So I self-taught myself websites, how to program front-end development.
Right.
And then I got huge back into Flash, graphics, premiere editing, video editing, audio editing, things like that. And I loved it. But then it was time to like make a move to the new company about 7 years ago. And I really started to realize that just web development is huge in the city.
Yeah.
Like, you know, everybody needs a website for a starting business.
It's true. It's the front door for your enterprise or your organization.
Yeah. So, and I got heavier into the web development, and then my boss just said, you know, like, I think I need to make you creative director. Like, because you're starting to like design every website you see that in Lansing that we've done has been, you know, your eye. So why don't you start doing all the front end mocks and things like that? And then I would also do my video editing on the side. We'd do a lot of editing with Premiere, things like that. But I always had that passion for 3D, and John saw at Rizzi Designs the success in it. Even though we only had maybe 3 or 4 clients, he saw that there was a lot of potential, a lot of like, if we could really break this door wide open, let's do it. So he bought me the software. He bought me Lightwave, which Sharon actually taught me Lightwave.
Right here at LCC.
Yeah. I believe they're using Maya now.
Okay.
I'm still one of those people in Lansing that that use Lightwave. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a couple other cool cats in Lansing that still use it that I like to hit up and say, hey, you know, how do you do this still? Because it's Lightwave is, you know, the big ones are Maya, Soft Image, and anything like the big studios use.
Got it.
But Lightwave still is just, it's an amazing tool. It's a powerful tool. And I just told John, I said, hey, we need to continue this service. Mm-hmm. And right now I think we have about 16 or 17 animation clients under our belt at Edison Enterprises. Anywhere ranging from, MSU Dairy. We've done the MSU U of M rugby intro, outro graphics for those.
Very cool.
Yeah, we're hoping that's going to happen again for 2022.
That's great.
Yeah, we do a lot of logos for businesses. That's kind of the biggest thing. We do a lot of like just logos for businesses. They have, hey, here's my EPS file. Do something cool with this. Make it like flip around, have some smoke and fire behind the logo. And
motion is so important for that, right? So to attract somebody's eye or to pull them in.
Yeah.
So I find it fascinating that you're still using a tool that you learned here at LCC in the 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, that's very, very cool.
Yeah.
You know, before we end, Tony, tell me a little bit about what it was like to be a student here at that time. You know, you're obviously deeply, deeply immersed in this animation. You've got an advisor who's gotten you excited about it. What about outside of the classroom? What kind of things were happening here when you were a student?
Yeah, well, I really transitioned at that age with like my entire life, like high school, going from kind of the dorky bully kid getting bullied. You know, I knew like, oh, I needed a change. I'm glad I went to a new school. And, you know, I started meeting a lot of really cool people.
Okay, so you met a lot of people on your
Here. It's a cool campus.
Do you bump into anybody that you studied animation with? Anybody professionally? You see them around?
Okay, so believe it or not, my wife, Twee, she had a friend at Auto Owners that... It was like, hey, you know, he just left Auto Owners. This guy is a brilliant videographer. And so she's like, can you do our wedding? And I was just like, oh, do we need a videographer? She's like, no, just in for a favor for me, can we hire him? And I said, okay, absolutely. And his name is Lex. And I met Lex and I was just like, man, you look familiar. And he's like, yeah, man, we used to like be in class together at LCC.
No way, here at LCC.
And I was just, and so we shared stories and I was just like, man, like I had no idea. Like I just don't remember you being there, but I guess he was just in one class and he's like, oh, I sat in the back. But he's brilliant. He's like, and he was like, yeah, man, I contribute all my success to LCC and those classes we took together.
Well, very cool. Well, yeah. I have to talk to him.
Yeah.
Tony, it has been so fun to have you on the show. Yeah. Great to see you again. And I'm really fascinated that you're still using the same design platform that you learned here. I know that designers get really attached to the environment and the software that they use. So that's really cool. And thanks for sharing your LCC story with us.
Thanks for having me, Steve. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Yeah. LCC Alumni Stories is recorded, engineered, and produced by me, Steve Robinson, on LCC's downtown campus. The soundtrack, Who Told You, is licensed through DeWolf Music and was performed by Ian McCanty. Thanks for listening. Learn more about what our alumni have been up to here at LCC at lccconnect.org. And if you're an LCC alum and want to share your story with me, send me an email at steve.robinson@lcc.edu. Until next time, keep learning. This is LCC Connect on WLNZ 89.7 FM.